down, in, out, over. Recession, depression, suppression, oppression. The gloom in the room is harming the womb. They think they've got away with words, get away with words, left away with words. But now it's running out of things to say. We're wising up, we're rising up. There's no more fooling us. Consciousness is moving up. Every thought has an emotional reaction. I can think myself up, I can think myself down. I can even think myself through the walls around. Or I can be free, where there is no end to the start. I remove myself mentally, and I go into my heart. Now I want to strike a chord with my sword of love. Enlightenment, awareness, joy, freedom, peace, love. But you won't hear this on the news. No, you won't. You won't hear do, you only hear don't. You push a stranger's misery into my home because you got away with words. You have us hanging our heads in shame as you get away with words. And we're all pointing fingers at each other as you're left away with words. But we all have access to infinite love right now and always. But fear is being spread all over. This is why I enter their war on words.
This is the night in America when a great decision has to be made. And when Barack Obama came to Ireland, I just penned this. It was the time that the ash cloud meant that he had to go back earlier than we hoped. So it's called How's the Crack, Barack? When Barack Obama came to our isle, his bulletproof limo was given a trial. Not 666, but a beast all the same. It ground to a halt, a keen source of shame. Not for our lads, but the guys from the States, as something went wrong at the embassy gates. Apart from that hitch, everyone had a ball. Michelle pulled two pints when they hit Moneygall. Barack met the cousins and paid for his drink. His words aimed at pulling us back from the brink. He turned bilingual and called us his friends. His faderling, helping us buck all the trends. Donald Trump had the gall to question his birth. But his roots were established as proved on his cert. When he finds that apostrophe that went astray, his Irish connections will be on display. We'll get over the ash cloud that shortened his stay if he gets re-elected at the end of the day.
Scented with artemisia, death pads retrace her tracks, top speed across garden walls, slips through the catflap, dark sleeve of corridor, prints fossil shapes on the slate floor, laps a moon of milk into eclipse, nudges the door wistfully, leaps to her cushion, velvet with memory, kneading as if to suckle, curls a black crescent.
Had a religious poem there a while ago, so you beat me to it. This is my religious poem, or kind of religious, anyway. It's called By Jove. By Jove and all the gods who grace this glistening plain, I thank you for the gifts of life and living, the wondrous joys it brings, the deep pleasures and the simple things. I thank the God Jesus for his gifts, his magic philosophy and perfect laws that help us all along. I thank them for the journey I'm on, the Buddha and the Tao, leading me to understand Stoic contemplation and realization, bringing fortuitous benefits to my life. I thank the God of Scientology for modernizing thoughts, the Jewish Yahweh, the Hindu Kali for esoteric self-expression, the Shinto priests I met along the way for helping self-development. You all played some part in my being here and made me understand the rest of this. Your poignant words and visions and description make each day blessed. I thank the Sun God, the gods of nature, Zoroaster, Pan, Bacchus, and Thor for forceful sentiment, the gods of Wooden Hill, those forgotten gods who once ruled Earth unhindered from early generations to guide man on his glorious path, preparing us a world born of creation. I wish all gods well, as many as the souls of those that ever lived, crowded in purgatory awaiting adjudication. Praise for the minor gods, subservient ones, the Holy Ghost, Caesar Augustus, Hirohito, those earthbound gods who could not crystallize their godliness. The golden gods of Incas, the harsh gods of Cromwell and Bin Laden, who implemented will through strong men's arms. Even the gods who left the stone, the idols of Assyria, are the prim, unloving gods of Leopold of Belgium. They were not always right. They drew some blood, but only so the clear blue sky might seem more blue. I thank the God my mother loved that kept her sleeping easy, that she passed on devoted to her children. My father's God, whose book he read the night before he died. My God, the one I pray to with my children every night, for fear they'll miss a step in understanding, so I can hear the names of dead relations call out across the ether, that in speaking they might somehow reignite, however briefly. Turned as a boy by science, an unrepentant rationalist, I feel I need to seek all their forgivenesses, to kiss each robe, each bishop's ring, guiding us still along the lowering paths, that one day we might walk on clouds amongst them, us and our gods.
And the poets. I thank the poets. And next up we have Mary Newman.
Thank you. Apfelstrudel, or my father in Vienna. When you die, sorry, I'll start again. When you die and go to heaven, I want them to take you on arrival and then nightly to an airy room in pastel shades with polished mahogany tables, rococo gilt mirrors and ormolu ceilings. Cafe Einstein, the best coffee house in Vienna. Oh, mein Papa, you never liked coffee. And that's not why you're here. No, it's for the Apfelstrudel. Because you are the greatest lover of apple tart and its derivatives, cake, pie, crumble, cobbler, that ever walked the earth. And you have never been to Vienna, nor had your mother before you, though hers was the best apple tart in Ireland, you said, made with rough, sour apples, lashings of white beet sugar made at the factory in Mallow, and bird's custard from the tin, just add a spoonful to boiling milk and stir. But Dad, this Viennese strudel is the nec plus ultra of apple confections, and you will take off your Astrakhan hat and dive into its stacked filaments of sliced fruit, a small orchard for each cake, layered with raisins and almonds, rolled in pastry light as snowflakes, dusted with a sprinkling of sieved sugar and cinnamon, and set adrift in a warm pool of eggy sauce, dotted with tiny vanilla seeds freshly popped from their pods. I want you to go swimming, Dad, night after night, in that continental custard that's had manners put on it in some alpine finishing school. As you savour the most luscious Apfelstrudel that celestial geld can buy in a room beyond time, where your knockout, as you call it, is of no consequence, where the tables are covered in white linen, where the waiters bow and smile as you lick your spoon, then lick it again and again. Thank you.
Now I'm hungry. Next up we have Bubba Shakespeare.
All right,
okay.
Hello.
I went to Latvia for 2 months there about a year ago, or maybe longer, and I was going out with a girl who was Latvian, and when I got there I realised she didn't actually speak a lot, because no one else there spoke English, so she was the only person that could speak that, and I realised, Jesus, we don't talk a lot at all. So that meant then that I had to find a new way to communicate. I was trying to speak that language, but obviously didn't have enough, so I had to feel for a lot of the whole thing. Kind of like, you know, oh, if I can omit a feeling, maybe I'll get the response, maybe I'll get the facts I'm looking for or something. But I found that, like, in not having words, I just started to see things differently. I started to feel people more and just get a new kind of perspective on things. So this is called Words Distract. I saw a man I didn't know, aged 20 years plus 30. His face was swollen, battered, bruised, and he was toothless and dirty. Now nobody would talk to him because he was deemed unworthy. See, I didn't speak his language, so I couldn't speak to him, unfortunately. See, people, they ignored this man and they laughed because they said he was strange. But, see, they all spoke his language too, so I couldn't see him the same. I couldn't understand his roaring, the rambling of his name, so without distraction of his words, all I could see was his pain. Now, apparently he's a madman, but he was falling around, sipping a can. I wanted to take him by the hand and say life could actually be grand, because he's only numbing the pain and the cold he has in his hands. He's stuck and the depression has a hold of his plans. Now, I'm a foreigner in a foreign land, but this I seem to understand. He's not an enemy or an evil fool. He's simply a victim of conditions. Man. Yeah, how about that for rhyme scheme? He's stuck in a rut and he has no clue that life really can improve. But the buck starts with me and you. Because the more you point and laugh at him, the more he'll see the world is cruel. Because his pockets are empty from that paper we seem to need so we can cater for the comfort in life that we seem to favour. Now take all that away and you're left with this crater. You have a bed and the comfort of indoors. You have a job or government support. You have a shower, a cooker, a clothes, even something stupid like a coffee maker. Take all that away, and you're left with this crater. You have a family and friends and people who are good to you. You've got people to help you out when you don't know what to do. You have heat, a room to call your own, even something stupid like a radiator. But take all that away, and you're left with this crater. Now this man has no shoes, so put yourself in his feet. They're scarred and torn by every little stone on the street. You have independence, a doctor's number, a way to get there, but take all that away, and you're left with this crater. Now I'm detached from the social scene, so I'm observing what it's like to be a person in his shoes or his feet, living in this society, and awareness is how I came to see this man is just like me. The only difference is we feed our egos differently, and his has a different effect on him, and my addictions you cannot see. So, I freestyle a little bit there. So would you love and help this man, or would you simply leave him be? I think to yourself, well, I hope he stays away from me. But what if it came to be the man that you see was you? Wouldn't you then want the world to react differently?
All right.
Very short one, it's not in the book. and back to religious themes here. My religious themes, anyway. The moon bee. a rock that circles our blue planet, like the stars and stones from space. Circumventing time, the pendulum of a clock, returning days and tides in 13s. The cycle complete in a moon time, the circle's 9, complete in motherhood. Shining stone of the night sky, be my guide through time, sister moon, be.
Sue is launching her first collection Wednesday week in the library at 7:30. Okay, and next up we have the winner of the 5-word challenge, Michael Ray.
A well-used shed in County Cork. When she moved in, baggage crammed with knickknacks, clothes, jewellery and several hundred compact discs, soundscapes from exes now released, I knew I had to mark out ground before the suggested flower beds, patio and orchard spread, engulfing my neglected patch. I built a shed, facing the sea, made from macro carpet planks, where I could sit into the night, and as the laptop's whirring fan accompanied my dancing hands, write convoluted streams of thought. Then on the windows, morning dew, draw stick men cavorting in the sun. When she moved in, there was a troop of women who'd come round for tea. They'd lay out blankets on the lawn, repair the world all afternoon, correct the errant ways of man with cake and Latinate discussion. And so it was when she moved in, the shed complete, I moved out. Into a world of woodlice, dust and corrugations dripping rain, where tools are hung and slowly rust and sideways glances shuttered out. Here flies and spiders share the best laid schemes of men and nesting mice. Even the neighbour's cat, it seems, enjoys the hissing iron stove. I sit, interred, and contemplate my sacred cave, where silence reigns, now comfortable enough to be a hunting lodge. A lover's grave.
Oh, okay, and now we have Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Rosie. Patrick mentioned earlier writing in response to News Bulletin. This was written in response to News Bulletin some time back. It's called Briefing at 1800. Now listen up, you'll wait for my signal of semaphore wings, we'll leave no unturned, up, upbeat and away, then wheel down and over these sandy mount sands as we end our sojourn. Recheck your sonar, the first wave of 2000, remember the drill, silver blur for the lensman, our climb will be steep with no afterburn. Leave the stacks of pool bag, first waypoint to starboard. Now that grounded heron, with her excess burden, is not your concern. Veer with your wingman, he knows the nocturne, maintaining formation. On course we'll return, watch out for jets, they'd swallow a flock. No foul-ups as the crow flies, in line abreast, I'll be on station, directly astern, on the flight past. Thank you.
Thank Thanks, Lewis. And last on our list tonight is Kieran McCartain.
Thanks a lot. Well, it would appear that religion has been stirring something in somebody. This is called the altar. This is the word of the Lord. Wouldn't you expect a bigger reaction? Wouldn't you expect more than this fraction to listen? This is the word of a man in robes with his arms outstretched, preaching at the backs of necks of bowed heads. Mother, I had training and work today. They told me all the rules. Mother, I had training and work today. They showed me all the tools. Mother, I had training and work today. They taught me how to speak for God. And I didn't feel weak, but I did feel odd. And though it felt wrong, I still felt strong. For imagine having the power to make it rain. The power to imagine having a rain. For imagine the words to lower their gaze. For look at how their stances changed. Their stances faded. Even faltered. Why do you think they called it an altar? For Christianity died on a cross that adds a figure to a figure, a loss to a loss. At the baptism of your baby, thank the Father. For he knows that when they're bigger, they won't mind or bother in giving him the power to amaze with such a simple phrase. This is the word of the Lord. How much will you absorb? Okay.